Hi, everyone. Sorry about the confusion with the link. Hopefully, many of you will get to see this shiur on video later, even if you're not able to actually see the live cast. There's a story told about the Abda Rav, Rav Avram Yehoshua Heschel, for whom my grandson Abi is named. And the story goes as follows, that there was a very, very wealthy man who used a huge amount of his wealth to buy a cup for Eliyahu. And unfortunately, he came upon very hard times, and he had to sell all that he had, and all that was left was this cup of Eliyahu when Pesach was coming. And he turned to his wife and he said, "This precious cup, we have no choice. We're just going to have to sell the cup." And she said, "Absolutely not. We can't." He says, "We don't have matzah. What's the point of a kos of Eliyahu if we don't have matzah?" So she refused. And he said, "That's it. I can't take it anymore." And he went out to the Beis Medrash to learn. While he was out, a wealthy man came to the door and told this woman that he'd like to spend Pesach with them. She said, "Well, we don't actually have anything." And he said, "Well, here's gold. Here's what I have. I'm a wealthy man. Go buy whatever it is. We're going to have a beautiful Seder together." And so he did. So he did. She goes out, she buys everything for the Seder. The husband comes back. He can't believe what he sees when he comes back to his house. And the table is set and they're waiting and waiting and the man never shows. It's just about to get to the time of the Kos of Eliyahu. They take out the beautiful cup and the man falls asleep. And his wife is still awake when Eliyahu comes to the door and he looks, of course, just like this wealthy man. And the man says that, "I am here. I came myself and I'm even allowing you to see me because you cared so much about this cup." The story goes that years later, the Abda Rav was clearing in Shemayim as to who was having a difficult time getting into Olam Haba. And he found out that this husband was having a very difficult time because Eliyahu Navi was up there in Shemayim and he was having a very difficult time. He wouldn't let this man in. The wife was let into Olam Haba with such pageantry, but the husband wasn't let in because of this kos. The Abda Rav said, "Eliyahu, you're not here. You're not here to scare us. You're not here to bring us to tshuva. You're here to have mercy on us. Let this person in." Eliyahu Hanavi comes to all of our sedarim. And the question is why? We have a tradition that Eliyahu comes to several different parts of our life. He comes to a bris. He comes to the Pesach Seder. And we know that we have the cup of Eliyahu on the table. The question is, what is the purpose of this kos? What is the purpose of filling this kos, not drinking the kos? What a strange thing. Many assume that it has to do with the fact that the second half of the Seder is there to bring up our desire for the days of Mashiach. The Hallel, perhaps, that we say, the great Hallel that we say, perhaps, at the end of the Seder is separated. The first one speaks of B'tzeisi Mimitzrayim, when I left Egypt. But the second half of the Seder and the songs that we sing at the end of the Seder are really all about the days of Mashiach. We know that there's a tradition that Eliyahu is supposed to come before Mashiach. We say that in the Haftorah of Shabbos HaGadol, which we're about to recite in just a couple of weeks, probably in our homes. We'll say, "Hine Anochi Sholeach Lachem Es Eliyahu Hanavi." I'm going to send, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to send you Eliyahu Hanavi lifnei vo, before that great day. V'heishiv lev avos al bonim, v'lev bonim al avosav. He's going to bring you to tshuva. And if he doesn't, terrible things are going to happen. That didn't make the song about v'heishiv lev avos al bonim. But that is the end of the Haftorah. It's the end of Sefer Malachi. It's actually the end of Nevi'im. What is the reason, though, why we put it there? If the reason is because at the end of the Seder, we turn to our discussion of Mashiach, if the reason is because as the Seder comes to an end, we begin to yearn for the time of Mashiach, Have you ever wondered why it's not the kos of Mashiach? Why is it the kos of Eliyahu? Yes, there's a tradition that Eliyahu is supposed to come first. But if we're praying that a miracle will happen on the night of the Seder, if we're praying that just as in those final two of the final songs, we talk about Va'amartim Zevach Pesach, that miracles occur on Pesach, and Vayehi B'chatzi Alayla, that something miracles happen in the middle of the night, if we're getting ready for Mashiach to come, why don't we put out a cup for Mashiach? There are, after all, five Lashonos of Geula. The last is Vehevesem, that I'll bring you to Eretz Yisrael. I'll bring the Mashiach. Why does Eliyahu have to get in the middle? Why does Eliyahu have to come first? And why is the kos that we have at the Seder the kos of Eliyahu and not immediately the kos of Mashiach? You should know that there are a number of different explanations as to why we have this kos, which tie much more into Eliyahu. Eliyahu as an individual, rather than just Eliyahu as the Mavaser HaGeula, Eliyahu, the one who will eventually come a day or two before, will lead us into the time of Mashiach. Eliyahu is famous for a lot of things. One of the things Eliyahu is famous for is that he's the one that will decide or give us the psak on disputes. We say very often in the Gemara, Teku, Tishbi, Eliyahu yitareitz ibayos, right? Bios, that it's going to be kushyus v'ibayos, that Eliyahu will come and he will answer all of the questions. One interesting explanation as to why it's a kos of Eliyahu is because maybe he will solve the following question, whether there should be a fifth cup at the Seder. Now you'll tell me, everybody knows there's four cups of the Seder. There's four sons. There's four Lashonos of Geula. There's four cups of wine. Everybody knows that there's everything is around the number four. There are four manishtanas. What do you mean five cups? The Mishnah tells us in Psachim that you fill up the fourth cup. Revi'i gomer alav esahalal. The last cup is the fourth cup. So what are you talking about, a fifth cup? But it's interesting to note that there is a different version that is quoted in some of the Rishonim and some of the Gaonim. In the Girsa of the Rif, in the version of the Gemara of the Rif says as follows, Tana Rabbanan Chamishi Omer Alav HaLagadol. And he says it in the name of Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon seemed to feel that there were actually five cups at the Seder and not four. Five cups. How could there be five cups? Again, there are five Lashonos of Geula. There are five different things that we say when we talk about the different stages. Vehotseisi eschem, vehitzalti eschem, vega'alti eschem, v'lakachti eschem. But then it continues, v'hevesi eschem el ha'aretz, asher nasasi es yadi l'seisosa, that I'm going to bring you to this particular place. I'm going to bring you to Eretz Yisrael. There are five Lishonos of Geula, and not four. Rabbi Tarfon's opinion, according to the Rif, is that we're supposed to have five cups at the Seder, and not four. And although you may never have heard of this shita, it's mentioned in many of the versions of the Rishonim. It's mentioned in the words of the Gaonim. It's mentioned in the Tur. What do we do? Do we in fact drink this fifth cup, or do we not drink this fifth cup? The Vilna Gaon says we won't know until Eliyahu comes. The reason why it's the kos of Eliyahu is not because of the Geula, the Mashiach. The reason why it's the kos of Eliyahu is because he will answer for us one day as to whether we should drink this kos. In the meantime, we give lip service to the opinions that say there should be five cups. We fill up the cup, but we don't drink it. Who will tell us one day if we can drink it? Says the Vilna Gaon, Eliyahu. It's the kos of Eliyahu because he'll tell us whether we should drink it. Interesting. Not that inspiring, but interesting. Another interesting pshat comes from Rav Moshe Chagiz in the 17th and 18th century. Rav Moshe Chagiz writes that the reason why Eliyahu comes to the Seder is actually the same reason why he comes to the Bris. Why does Eliyahu come to the Bris? He's called Malach HaBris. And our rabbis tell us that Eliyahu was a kanoi. He was very, very, very zealous about making sure that Jewish people should do a Bris Milah. And he told the Ribono Shel Olam, they're not doing Bris Milah. I've done my best and I keep trying to get him to do it. But the Jews are not doing Bris Milah. And Chazal say for that reason, Eliyahu comes to every Bris to be able to see, to be able to oversee, because he tried so hard to get the Jewish people to keep the mitzvah of Bris Milah. That's why he gets to come. He gets a seat of honor at every Bris. But the Zohar says something a little different. The Zohar says that the reason why he's at every Bris is actually a punishment. It's nice to go to a Bris. Do you know how many Brisin Eliyahu HaNavi has to go to? That's a very, very busy schedule. And if you take into account the time zones, he, Baruch Hashem, has very, very little time for anything else. Why does Eliyahu have to come to every Bris? The Zohar says it's actually a punishment. He doubted that the Jewish people would keep this mitzvah. Eliyahu, you're going to come to every single Bris and you're going to see the Jewish people will not give up this mitzvah. Rav Moshe Chagiz says that it's for the same reason that he comes to the Seder, because the Seder is a reenactment of Sedarim of the past. It's a reenactment of the first Seder in Mitzrayim. It's a reenactment of Sedarim that we had in Eretz Yisrael. And what was needed for any male who was at the Seder in order to be able to partake in the Seder? A Bris. A Bris. You're not allowed to be part. You're not allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach, a man, if he doesn't have a Bris. And therefore, just as Eliyahu has to come to every single Bris, he has to come to the Seder to see how many people are there, how the Jewish people have kept the mitzvah of Bris Milah so that they can be part of the Seder. But I think that the cup of Eliyahu can be understood kipshuto, as we understand it. I don't think, unless you have a very lumdish Seder, that you talk about whether there are four cups or five cups. I don't think that at the Seder you're thinking about Bris Milah, though maybe now you could bring it up. Our Seder may be small. We'll each have a little more time to speak. But I think it maybe goes back to Eliyahu as the Mavasser of the Geula. And it begs the question that we started with. Why does Eliyahu have to come? We're really at the end of the Seder. We're focusing on the time of Mashiach. We're focusing on the fact that Mashiach could come. Why does Eliyahu have to come? Why does he have to come first? Why can't the Mashiach just show up? I was hoping, as some of you heard me on Erev Shabbos, that we would just open up our phones on Motzei Shabbos and we would see that Mashiach had come in Eretz Yisrael after Shabbos. For some reason, Eliyahu is supposed to come first. Why is that? The simple pshat of the end of the book of Malachi, which is the source that Eliyahu comes first. V'heishiv levavos al banim v'lev banim al avosav. Why is it that Eliyahu HaNavi will have to come? Because the Jews will need to do tshuva before Mashiach comes. And who better than Eliyahu HaNavi to get us to do tshuva? The Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Yisrael, Osin Tshuva, Ein Anigolin. If the Jewish people don't do tshuva, they will not be redeemed. Ve'ein Yisrael, Osin Tshuva, Ela mitoch hatzar, umitoch hadchak, umitoch hatiltul, umitoch she'ein lahem michye. Because there's a shortage of food, and things are difficult. It's only a situation like this that will lead us to tshuva. Ve'ein Yisrael osen tshuva gedola at sheyavo Eliyahu zachar latov. And the Jewish people won't truly do tshuva until Eliyahu comes, because Eliyahu is the master of getting people to do tshuva. Shenemar hine anochi shalech lachem es Eliyahu anavi lifnei bo yom Hashem agodol v'anoira ve'heishi levavos albonim v'lebonim alavoisa. And the interesting Medrash says, Baruch Ata Hashem Arotze B'tshuva. He wants our tshuva. He wants this all to end, but he needs us to do tshuva if he's going to bring the Mashiach. The Radak explains that Eliyahu's job when he comes back is to exhort us to tshuva. Who better than Eliyahu HaNavi? Who knows how to make a show like Eliyahu HaNavi? Famous story of Eliyahu HaNavi on Har Carmel, when Eliyahu gathered 400 of the Nevi'ei HaBaal, and they stood up at the top of the mountain, and there were two identical animals, and there were two Mizbechos, and Eliyahu told them, do anything you can, get HaKadosh Baruch Hu to answer your korban. And he left them throughout the day, and they tried, and they cried to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the whole Jewish people were standing at the foot of the mountain. And at the end of the day, B'Shas Mincha, it was at that moment that they gave it over to Eliyahu. And Eliyahu says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is when I need you. I need you to do a miracle. Answer me, Aneini Hashem, Aneini, answer me. And he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let the people understand that this is not a trick. It's not magic. Let them understand that it's from you. And so it happened. A fire comes out from Shemayim. And it eats up the korban and it dries up all of the water. And the people say, Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim. A phrase that we say, of course, at the end of Yom Kippur when we are at the height of tshuva. Who better to bring back at this moment than Eliyahu HaNavi, who knows how to do something? Imagine what it'll be, everyone tuning in on Zoom, on YouTube. And unlike the speaker, they'll understand how to get YouTube right the first time. And Eliyahu will have divine assistance that he should get on the right channel. And everybody should tune in at the same time. And everybody will see how Eliyahu proves the Ribbono Shel Olam and brings people back to tshuva. Why do we have a Koshel Eliyahu? We have a Koshel Eliyahu because it's not enough. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, so to speak, to bring the Mashiach. But we need to do tshuva first. So we have a cup of Eliyahu, not a cup of Mashiach, so that we can be driven to tshuva. It's a great pshat. That's not the way I've ever experienced the Kos Eliyahu at my Seder. And I don't believe it's the way that you've experienced it at yours. The end of the Seder is not about tshuva. The end of the Seder is about hoping, is about wishing, is about believing. We don't take a moment at the end of the Seder when we open up the door and we open up the door for Eliyahu. We don't start saying, Ashamnu, Bagadnu, Gozalnu. We sing Eliyahu Anavi. We say, Shvoch Hamoscha Lagoyim, take out your wrath on the nations. Just bring Mashiach now. The way we mark the Kos of Eliyahu doesn't seem to be a call to tshuva. At least not what we typically refer to as tshuva. Rabosai, Eliyahu HaNavi was one of the great figures of our people. And he pulled one of the greatest shticks in Jewish history. Light, sound, smoke. Those of you who used to know me when I was a kid, we did NCSY skits with strobe lights and smoke and the whole thing. Hashem Hu Elokim. But you just have to turn the page to know what happened the next day. The tshuva movement didn't last. And the geula that could have come didn't come. The people saw, the people experienced, the people said, Hashem Hu Elokim. But it didn't bring Mashiach and it didn't bring an end to the sorrows and the difficulties. It didn't bring the people to real tshuva. The next perek, you see Eliyahu HaNavi running away from Izebel, who was the one who had promoted all of the Nevi'ei HaBaal. And Eliyahu comes before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, what do you want me to do? Kanel Kinesi, I have acted as a measure for tshuva. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches Eliyahu a very, very powerful lesson. He tells Eliyahu, Tseva amadata v'har lifnei Hashem, v'nei Hashem over v'ruach gedola v'chazak mefarikarim. He tells Eliyahu to go into a cleft in the mountain. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu comes before him with a great ruach. But lo baruach Hashem. The answer was not found in the great ruach. And then comes a rash. And then comes an aish. And in all of these things is not found HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'achar ha'esh kol d'mama daka. And after the esh is a small still voice. And it's that voice that Eliyahu has to understand is the secret to tshuva. Eliyahu is given a musar that it's not in the great displays and it's not in the great fire and the wind and the storm. It's maybe not in wars that this tshuva is to be found, but it's a small still voice. And I would suggest it's a small still voice that's within every one of us. Eliyahu is told, and he needs to know this, because someday he's going to have to get the Jewish people to do tshuva. And Eliyahu needs to understand that the way that he's going to bring the Jewish people to tshuva is not the way that he brought them at Har Carmel. He's going to have to touch something inside of them. He's going to have to find something deep inside of them. And that's going to be the secret to the tshuva. And what is that? Many of you saw a video that I made before we davened our last minyan, not in my shul, but next door in the Young Israel Jamaica Estates. And I spoke about the fact that tshuva is a longing to get back to where you once were. Hashiveinu avinu v'sarasecha, we prayed HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should return us to his places of learning, to our learning. V'karveinu malkeinu l'avodasecha, and you should bring us back to the places where we davened. The tshuva that we need to do is a tshuva where we yearn for something, where we yearn for Mashiach. It's not that we don't have enough zechuyos. It's that we don't want it badly enough. We're not ready. Why did Eliyahu's great sound and light show not work? Why was it the people who were poseach al shtei ha-se'ifim, they were walking on both sides, they were on boats, they were straddling the fence between Avodah Zarah and worship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why did Eliyahu's great show not work? Because they were disinterested. Because they were curious to know the answer, but they weren't being mitzapeh. They weren't hoping. They weren't yearning to see a miracle at the hands of Eliyahu. They were curious to know who was going to win. Was it going to be the Nevi Yabal? Was it going to be Eliyahu? But in their hearts, leading up to this moment, wasn't a yearning for Eliyahu to be right. Wasn't a yearning to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem Hu Elokim came from an external source afterwards. It wasn't brewing up inside of them. Why does Eliyahu have to come before the Mashiach? Because we need one day to feel like we want it. We need one day to look forward to it. We need one day to build up in our hearts the possibility that maybe it'll come in our day-to-day life. We don't have any semblance of the end of time. We don't have a yearning for the end of time. We don't have a yearning for the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi say, I'm going to share something. I don't get much out of davening at the Koso. It's too many people. I know you may be surprised to hear this. I'm not a people person. It's too many people. It's outdoors. It's a balagan. I don't always yearn to be there, to be in the Beis HaMikdash. But today I do. What's happened over the last 2 weeks? I can't go to Eretz Yisrael. I can't go. Even if Mashiach comes, I don't know what I'll do because of my business. What business? If we have a business, it's because we can do it from anywhere in the world. I can't go because I'm so connected to my community and my shul. What shul? I can't step foot in my shul right now. But I have to be near my yeshiva. My yeshiva is now accessible from anywhere in the world. I can't leave because I need to be near my family. Even if I'm here, I can't be near my family. I miss my grandchildren so much. I'm not able to be with them and hug them. There are no more excuses. We've spent 2 weeks inside. And what's grown within us over the last 2 weeks is that we want to be together with other Jews. We want to be worshiping together with other Jews. We want to be able to take a plane to Eretz Yisrael. And even though it's so much easier now to go to Eretz Yisrael in our day than it ever was before, this is the first time in so long that a Jew can't, absolutely can't get to Eretz Yisrael. The Seder is a yearly reminder that we need to want it. It needs to build up within us. The Kos of Eliyahu is there because Eliyahu is going to give us a day. He's going to give us a period. He's going to give us a time where we truly yearn for the Mashiach. We truly yearn to follow him. I believe in so many ways that Eliyahu is here. Eliyahu has made us want Mashiach. 2 weeks ago, if the news said that Mashiach had come, our first reaction would be, how am I going to move everything? And how am I going to disrupt my whole life to go? Our lives have been disrupted. If Mashiach came tomorrow, we would run out of our homes so fast and follow him to Eretz Yisrael. One of the things we'll be asked when we get the Shemayim is Tzipisah Yeshua. A strange question. Did you want to go? Did you yearn for the times of Mashiach? Why do I have to yearn for it? I just need to go when the time comes. Because if I don't yearn for it, I'll miss the moment. If I don't hold on to these feelings, whether Mashiach comes now or it comes later in our lifetimes, if we don't hold on to these feelings, then he'll come and we won't be ready. Rabosai, Eliyahu doesn't knock on the door. He doesn't ring the doorbell. We have to open the door for him. These last 2 weeks has opened up our hearts to Eliyahu and his message to want more badly than we've ever wanted to go together to Eretz Yisrael, to daven together in the Beis HaMikdash. May we see it soon in our days.